Hi, this is Hugh Greenwood from the North Melbourne Footy Club, and you're listening to another episode of the Hashtag Kangaroos podcast. Here is your host, Dean Basich.
Welcome to another episode. My name is Dean Vasic. You can find me on X at hashtag Kangas, Instagram hashtag Kangaroos Podcast, TikTok hashtag Kangaroos 1. So tonight, I welcome back to the boys, Jesse, Frank and Mark to the show to do more positional challenges. I started that the other day with the lovely girl Siobhan Rowe and Marnie Cohen. So I wanted to continue that tonight. There was a lot to discuss. There was a few players that I didn't mention. Shout out to the guy on X who mentioned that I didn't talk at all about Cooper Harvey. So we talked a little bit about him. We talked a lot about a number of other players. So it was a good, interesting discussion, especially with the positional challenges that we are facing. We seem to have a lot of half forwards and midfielders. So yeah, we talked about that. We talked about the rucks and so forth. So let's not waste any more of your valuable time and bring on the boys to chat about it.
So tonight, I welcome back to the show, Jesse, Frank, and Mark. Hello. It's been a while, boys. Very long time. I did start the positional challenges the other day with the girls, and this will be pretty much the same with a few other players that maybe I didn't mention or positions they played in the intra-club match the other day. So we'll continue with that theme. But I might as well start with the Tarryn Thomas news. I've got the girls' thoughts on that. And I expected a meeting with the AFL Integrity Unit today, but no mention of it. Mark, should we be worried about this latest allegation against Tarryn?
Yes. You have to be worried about it, regardless of the eventual outcome, because we don't know what happened. And as of last week, that didn't sound like the club knew either. So... you just want to hope that it's either you hope it's completely wrong or it's a lot milder than it came across as in the news. But the fact they've asked him to stand down until he's been interviewed by the AFL is probably not a great... Well, that, to be fair, actually, that's probably just because they don't want the noise around the club because they saw what happened last year. So you can't blame the club for that. It's probably in his best interest as well. It's a bit hard to know, but it is unfortunate that these things keep cropping up. You'd like to think that in this instance, it might be a situation where they've seen what happened with him last year and then they're potentially taking advantage of the situation. But we have no idea. I hope he hasn't done something like that. It would be very disappointing after all that happened last year, if he hadn't learnt from that and grown up. I'm talking from a football talent perspective, but from a cultural perspective and a people perspective, if he has done something even remotely like what's been suggested in terms of the allegation, although it's very broad, I just can't see how he'd be playing for us this year. But I'm hoping that he's cleared and we can get on with it. But He would need to have be pretty clear cut that he's done nothing wrong for him to be able to continue, I would have thought.
Yeah, I mean, Jesse, we can't afford for this to linger on for weeks or months, can we? Like, probably last year we had a similar situation. It was more than just allegations last year, whereas this is just allegations at this stage, but we don't want this to linger around for a long time, do we?
No, I think, like Mark said, the main thing is that I don't think we handled it particularly well last time in terms of how we communicated it out. I don't see how, to Mark's point, I don't see how, if the allegations have any truth to them, how he could be allowed to continue on at the club. You're exactly right. We have enough things going on this year. There is enough around the actual football club itself and us having to rebuild that we can't cop it. And I think the most important thing is that we're now the youngest club in the competition. We have a lot of young boys on the list. And to allow someone to do what they did originally and stay on the list, if they've gone and done it again, regardless of how good they are at playing football, I just don't see what type of message that sends to a group of young boys, regardless of football. So I struggle to see if there is any truth to the allegations, that he can be allowed to continue. I think you have to put a line in the sand. And if that means that he doesn't play football this year and then a club like Collingwood or someone picks him up and he has a great career, then unfortunately that is what it is. That's just how it works sometimes. And as unfortunate as that is, I think culture is more important than one individual. And I think, you know, we could have won the wooden spoon last year. We could have tanked, et cetera. And, you know, we won a game of football and everyone talks about what that does for culture. I think this is just equally important. If there's any truth to it, I think you have to put a line in the sand. But to Mark's point, I think the fact that they've asked him to stand down, the club probably has a bit of an idea what's been said now. It's a bit disappointing that nothing's come out today post him meant to be meeting the AFL. You'd hope that this would get dealt with pretty swiftly. But unfortunately, it may linger for a few weeks more.
Yeah, I mean, Frank, welcome back as well after a pretty stressful couple of weeks for yourself personally.
Thanks, mate.
All good. I guess the concern is that he's gone straight to the lawyers. He didn't want to meet with the integrity unit because he wanted to lawyer up, basically. So, I mean, I guess when things seem to be going pretty well, we have a habit of getting into news quite negative, don't we, as well?
We do. Look, Dean, about the only thing I'll say about Tarrant Thomas is he's either not a great person or he associates a lot with people who aren't great people and he's easily led. Because this continually happening either means he moves in the wrong circles or he himself is, you know, a bad egg. So, said it before, I find it hard to sort of get excited about him because I just fear that he's, you know, one slip away from, you know, leaving the club. So let's see what happens. Disappointing, but without knowing much of the facts, I guess, we'll wait to see what the next segment is.
Yeah, definitely. I suppose, Jesse said, we'll find out more in the next few days. And at this stage, there have been no police charges, which is the positive, I guess. This individual has gone straight to the AFL integrity unit. So hopefully it's nothing too serious. But, you have to feel a little nervous, that's for sure, with his history.
Yeah.
We'll move forward anyway, and we'll start with some positional players and competition for spots. Mark, I went through the key defenders in our back six the other day. I assume you generally play three, but we have a ton of rebounding defenders to talk about here as well. We had Harry Sheaves with a BNF winner last year. Miller Bergman, Bailey Scott played there in intra-club match and in round 23 last year. Zach Fisher is going to be a rebounding defender this year. You'd have to think Josh Goda, Dylan Stevens, Luke McDonald, and from all reports, Colby McKercher played off there in the intra-club match as well. Who would you like to see as the rebounding defenders, Mark?
I'm pretty bullish. I mean, I know there's been a lot of talk about how, you know, our back line's a massive worry, and clearly it's not ideal to lose your most well-known key defender in Mackay and then have Lowe do his knee. Although, by the way, his progress seems to be very positive at this early stage, so he could be back sooner than we thought by mid-year. So that's positive. I personally think they've done a great job recruiting other key defenders. I know we're not talking about key defenders, and moving Charlie Common back there. So I'm reasonably confident that'll get sorted. And I think back to your question on the rebounding defenders, I think we've got some really good quality ones there. Even before we had players like McKercher and Zach Fisher come in, because I think Bergman and Goda were coming on really well.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jackson Archer's a slightly different type of player. He's probably played more of a lockdown intercept type defender, more similar to Luke McDonald, I think. So and obviously Sheasel's been outstanding last year. And you know, whenever we're in trouble, whether he plays there or not at the start of the year, they'll be able to throw him back if they need him back there at any stage. So I think we're well covered. My guess would be, based on what we've seen so far, is McKercher and Fisher will be the fast, the guys they'll be getting the ball out to run with it, and also both elite kicks downfield. So I think they'll be the two main ones, but I think other players will be going through there. Obviously, Sheasel at various stages, although he seems likely to play a bit more midfield and maybe a bit forward. And I think you're right about Scott. He's already played there the other day, Stevens. And because we've got a few options for wing as well. But yeah, I certainly haven't written off Goda or Bergman in terms of being able to play that type of role. And there'll be injuries, so they'll get their chance. But I think starting off the running defenders will be Zach Fisher and McKercher.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, it'll probably be a cut more like Bailey Scott. I think Josh Goda will get a game this year. But, Jesse, what do you think?
Yeah, look, I tend to agree with Mark. In terms of the half-back line, I think there's a lot of really good options for that spot. And that's something that a few years ago we probably wouldn't have said. I think the whole back line was a problem. Now I'd say we've got a lot more options. I tend to say that Cheeser will move up the ground. I've always been, you know, it was fantastic his first year. It was. I've always been a strong advocate that he can do some things forward that are very, very special. So I think he will play a little bit further up the ground, whether or not it's mid-forward or whatnot. He will drift back at times to times, you know, if he is drifting out of games or the net and get some confidence. But, yeah, look, I think McKercher, from what I've seen of him and his ability to deliver the football, he looks like he's going to get that spot. And, yeah, by all reports, Fisher's speed off the half-back line is adding a fair bit. But the good thing is you do have a range of players who can go back there now. And some of that is the fact that we do have a very deep midfield. So there is midfielders who are going to get played in different positions. But I think what we're starting to see is some people who can play off the half-back line who are actually able to distribute a football, which is something that we have lacked for a very long time. We need to obviously sort the keys out. And hopefully, yeah, an Archer or whatnot can take off, because one thing we have lacked for years is a lockdown small/medium defender who can actually deal with dangerous small forwards. They've kind of been our bane for an extended period of time. But, yeah, look, I tend to think of the running, distributing halfbacks as, yeah, your McKerchers, your Fishers. I think that seems to definitely be the way it's going. If Taron did play, you know, that was something they looked at him last year. But yeah, look, that's my thoughts at the moment from what I've seen around training.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Frank, your thoughts on this one as well?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of, well, the good thing is there's a little bit of pressure to play those roles and to get that spot. There's a lot of guys that can go through there. I think all in all, that's what you want is pressure on those halfback flankers and hold their spot and to lift. So yeah, back line, I guess is always going to be a concern. You know, we really can't afford too many injuries, but I think there's a good little mix there of wingers, half forwards, half backs that we'll probably see roll through there. Throughout the year to see who settles best. But, I think as Mark and Jesse said, it's probably key defensive that we need the footy gods to smile on us and avoid injury.
Yeah, well, we've got Griffin Lokes tracking pretty well, but that's Kevin White was on the other day sort of saying he's probably still tracking around 10 to 14. Zach Fisher had hamstring awareness, so no strain. So that's just a precaution. Luke McDonald's still recovering from his hamstring injury. There's going to be, probably a few spots open round one by the sounds of it. Aiden Corr is still probably not doing full training at the moment, so there might be a few spots there. Speaking of a position that we probably don't have as much depth in, and that's in the ruck and the ruck combo, Mark. We have Tristan Sherry, Callan Coleman-Jones, Finbar Maley, Taylor Goad, a couple of rookies there. You have to think we'll have to do their time. Hamish Free still recovering from shoulder surgery last year, and maybe Big Inewen. Which two would you select, or would you just select one of those and have maybe Greenwood as the second ruck, Mark?
Yeah, I don't mind the Greenwood option. Yeah. I think there's no question in my mind, unless injury or he has a bad loss of form. I think people forget as well with Cherry that he started this when he got injured at the beginning. It was in round one last
year. Yeah, it was.
He was dominating when he got injured. So it was very disappointing. He missed a big chunk of the season. And then I think people have been a bit harsh on him after he came back. It's not easy to miss that many weeks out and then come back towards the back end of the year. I think the criticism I have of Cherry is I don't think he can play forward. I haven't seen anything yet that makes me believe he can play forward. So I think he'll need to do 80 to 90% of the ruck work, which does open the door then for someone like Greenwood to just be able to chop out 10, 15%, 20% of the time. The other obvious option for me is for Callum Coleman-Jones. If he's playing well enough in the forward line, and that would be the big if, he's not going to hold his spot just by being the second ruckman. He's going to have to be offering real value in the forward line. We'd love to see that happen. If he was doing that, I think that's the other option you've got. And then if there's injuries, I think, you know, Free was playing very well last year before he got injured. I'm sure they wouldn't mind giving him a look. But I think what's the young draftee's name again? The big, huge guy, tall.
Taylor Goad.
Yes, Taylor Goad. I think he to me looks exceptionally talented. He's a great long term prospect, but he's probably 15 kilos away.
Yeah.
Playing senior footy, so you've got to give him, you know, at least a couple of years in the system. Next year he might be ready for a game. If he comes along this year and gets a game, it'll be. Means we've got some real injury worries, would have thought. So, and Biggie, I think, is more a defender that can sort of play in the ruck a little bit. So, you're right. There's not a lot of depth there. I just like Cherry to stay injury free. And then I'd say Callum Coleman-Jones, followed by Free, are the best options after that.
Yeah, slim pickings there, Jesse. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, look, I think I was pretty vocal last year in saying that I don't have a lot of faith in the ruckman we've got at the club. So I don't think I'll be taking anyone by surprise there. Look, my problem again with Tristan Jerry, like Mark said, is I don't think he's got any ability whatsoever to play forward. He needs to make it 100% as a ruckman. And look, ruckman take a long time to develop. I need to see more from him. He needs to be given an opportunity, and this is when it's going to happen. He's going to get given an opportunity of, you know, at least half a season of being the main ruckman who has to go in there every week. So we're going to find out this year if he has a future or not. But if it doesn't work, if we find out pretty quickly that, you know, he's not going to make it at AFL level, it's very slim pickings from there. Callum Coleman-Jones hasn't really come on as like we would want it at this point. And, you know, we'll talk about that a little bit later, I'm sure. But outside of that, there's not a lot of options. As you said, Free's kind of had a bit of a interrupted period. Plus, you know, whether or not he's an AFL standard player or not is yet to be worked out. Meaning we don't have a whole lot there. I tend to agree with everyone that Greenwood probably plays some form of role. Again, look, it's not ideal. You'd obviously like a second tall forward who can pinch it in the ruck. And if, you know, if Charlie Comden was playing forward, then you'd say that. So, I still think regardless this year, if Charlie Comden's going down back, then Callum Coleman-Jones has to play second tall. And that means that he takes second ruck. The other option, like Mark said, is that then Greenwood does that role. Look, it's still not an ideal solution, though. So, look, I think the main takeaway from that is that we don't have a lot of options, but it is something that Tristan is going to get an opportunity at. So he's either going to be able to take it or he's not.
Frank, who do you have as number one ruck? Do you have Tristan Sherry or Callum Coleman-Jones? There's not much between them, is there?
No, but I think I would go with Tristan Sherry. I prefer him simply because, like Jesse said, I think there's a better chance of him developing into a genuine ruck option. So you're right. Neither of them have delivered a hell of a lot. I'm not even sure any of them have ever pulled a Brownlow vote for us. But I see Tristan Sherry as more of a genuine ruckman. He's got some work to do. But saying that, I don't think moving Todd Goldstein on was the wrong thing to do. I think he was starting to struggle. So we need to find who the next ruckman is. And if it's not Tristan and it's not Coleman-Jones, it might be Finbar Maley. whatever. But yeah, the time had sort of come to pass the baton.
Yeah, I mean, you can only rely on a 35-year-old to carry a team so much in the ruck. Someone else has got to step up now. And sometimes he's got to dangle a bit more of a carry in front of these players like a Tristan Sherry to, yeah, prove that it's worth. And like Mark said, he had a good pre-season last year. And unfortunately, I think it was early in the second quarter, he broke his leg. So, yeah, and he was looking all right in that game as well. So maybe that hindered his development a bit. Mark, we'll talk about Colin Jones now because, yeah, we need a second tall forward to help Nick Larkey. And I'll ask you the question. He is 24 years old and only 28 games, but came to the club on a big contract based on potential, really. Is this a make or break year for him?
Well, I don't know. How many years left has he got?
No, he's still got two.
Yeah, okay. So next year's the make or break year then. I think, well, put it this way, if it doesn't work this year, I wouldn't be surprised if he asked to move on. We'll end up paying half his salary for him to go somewhere else. But
that's a worry.
I hope that's not the way it works out. I think it was the Swans game last year where he just started clunking marks he was doing it for fun, and I thought, oh, here we go. This is what we've been waiting for, and there were signs of it. He kicked the week prior to that. He kicked I think 9 or 10 in the BFL.
Mm.
And came in and looked $1 million in that Swans game, although he didn't convert terribly well, played pretty well the week after and then fell away again. And then I think got injured. So I'm hoping those signs we saw that day will come back, and that's what we'll see for most of the year. I mean, he's had a bit of an injury interrupted.
Concussions.
He's still having concussion issues, by the looks of it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, hopefully that doesn't affect him. Look, I'm not... You know, putting him aside specifically and the fact that Charlie's playing on the back line or likely to be playing on the back line, they could always move him forward again if others were able to cover. But I'm not as convinced that we're as desperate for that second forward, tall forward, as we have been in the past, because I don't think we're going to bomb the ball the way we have in the past. I think we've got players like Zerha, George, Zane Dersma, Curtis... There's, you know, Stevenson is not really a marking player, but the other guys are. They can all take a grab, particularly forward Zerha and George and Dersma. There's four of them there that are all play taller than they are. So I don't think we're going to be bombing it in long. I don't think it's never been good for Larky. He doesn't like playing that way anyway. So it doesn't really suit any of our forwards. But again, that might be where the opportunity is for Callum Coleman-Jones, is because there are going to be occasions when you've got no choice. You've got to go long. And you need someone to bring the ball to ground and to compete hard and stop the intercept defenders from marking, getting it out of there. So he'll get his opportunity, but I'm pretty bullish about the other type of marking, mid-sized marking forwards we've got, particularly George and Dersma coming into that mix alongside Zerha and Ford. So, and we saw Ford take a lot of good marks in the last part of last season. So he didn't really have any second tall forwards in that Gold Coast game, for example. And it worked pretty well, albeit, you know, that's a bit of a dead rubber game. So I don't think it's it used to worry me a lot more than it does now. And I've seen Collingwood do a really good job with that hybrid forward, albeit they've thrown Cox in there at times as well. So Callum Coleman-Jones will never get a bit better opportunity than he's got now to cement his place, that's for sure. He's going to get a run at it, you would have thought. So it's up to him, isn't it?
Oh, definitely is. I mean, like we sort of said, it is a little concerning. He's still having concussion issues from last year by the looks of it. It seems to be cleared all from now. Just got the report the other day from Kevin White. So hopefully, yeah, touch wood, he's behind that. But Jesse, he hasn't really fulfilled his potential, and he has flashed some potential. I mean, you look at his last month of football last year, and he took 5 marks in 4 games with no scoring shots. He needs to step up this year like Tristan Sherry, because our big stocks are pretty bleak outside of Nick Larkey.
Yeah, well, that was Kingy's comment, wasn't it, when he went down to training?
Yeah, that's right.
Pretty much anything other than Larkey over a certain height was, non-existent. Yeah, look, spot on. Ideally, if you asked me, would you rather him come on as a ruckman or a forward, I'd probably still pick forward just because... I think that's the bigger need on our list. Look, the thing is that, you know, there were some games he played for the Tigers, you know, that Callum Coleman-Jones played for the Tigers before he came across, and he looked really, really solid. So we know that he's got a lot of talent. Yeah. We know that he can play football. In terms of other tools on the list, I think we said earlier, Tristan Jarry is a ruckman and he can't play forward. Who else on the list is actually a forward? Charlie Coleman down back. We're trying that out. So who else actually on the list can play forward? There's not a lot of options. You know, Mark made a really good point. We have a lot more mediums now. There is a lot of players who can genuinely play medium forward. So it doesn't necessarily mean that we need to have two talls. We might have a lot of really quality mids, and that might be fine. And in which case, you know, he has to push his claim as a ruckman. But I haven't seen it from him in terms of the rucks. I just haven't seen it. I haven't seen any genuine ruckcraft, to be honest. So it's, yeah.
What about Finn Barmalley?
Bit too young for me. Still very raw, still very early. Unless he really dominates in preseason games, I don't think they'll be rushing him.
No.
No, but I'd hope that would be something within a couple of years. I hope it'd be something that hopefully he can put on a bit of size, because what I've seen of him, he looks pretty exciting. We did go and draft one. That's the massive tick, that we actually have someone now who we can put some work into, who looks like a really quality young man. So we have a bright star there. We've just got to wait till he can get there. I mean, if you think of Tim English, probably the most recent of the young skinny ruckmen to come through, and there was a lot of question marks for a long time, but I think he's shown the last year, even maybe two, that he can really play football, but it does take them a long time, ruckman.
Yeah, definitely does. We're certainly hoping by age 25, he'll be 25 halfway through the year, that he starts to really show his potential. Frank, do you think he'll play round one this year?
Who was that, Dean?
Callum Coleman-Jones.
God, I hope he does, Dean. I hope he does on form rather than necessity. I'll say that. But on current form, or the pocket of form we saw at the back half of last year, he's going to struggle. But we probably don't have a lot of depth in that role. I'm not sure who could come in. I'm not sure there's a lot of pressure on him, Dean, to lose his spot, I guess is what I'm saying. But, I hope he gets in on merit. We'd be a much better side if he could find some form. So I guess, short answer is yes, I hope he does play round one.
Yeah, he did frustrate me a little bit last year. Just got nudged under the ball in contest far too easy. Didn't assert his strength. He's 200 centimetres, about 105 kilos, and just doesn't use that frame. He's got to learn the crash packs a bit hard and really provide a contest, because he's a big boy, but we've seen a lot of big boys not fulfill their potential, and they seem to do it at our club for some reason. Now we move to the forward line, to more the mid-size hybrid forwards, Mark. You already talked about them. Eddie Ford is in doubt for round one, so that opens up a position there. We had Zane Dersma and Cooper Harvey kick four goals each, and both look really impressive. We talked about Hugh Greenwood. He looked good up forward, apparently, from all reports, with a couple of goals, and did okay in round 23 there last year. Let's talk about the rookie Dersma. Do you think he will play round one?
Well, if he keeps kicking four goals every time he plays, he will. I mean, how can you leave him out? I mean, the same will play with Harvey. I mean, I saw just a few highlights of what he was doing.
Yeah.
If Harvey wants to play, he'll have to be doing a great job on the pressure side as well. And I think that's going to apply to all of those sort of guys in that bracket. Curtis obviously produces, fantastic X factor and is a similar player. But Hanson Jr. is the other one that kicked a goal and did some exciting things in the game. And looks like he's put on some size and he's already super quick. So I think the number... just as an aside to that, the fact they're doing so much extra running this preseason excites me, because it means the chances are our ability to sustain pressure on the opposition will last a hell of a lot longer in quarters and in games than it has in the past. That's really hurt us. So I think that's going to be exciting. But as an extension of that, you know, I think we've all complained on this podcast for 24 months now about the lack of pressure in our forward line. So whoever gets the gigs in the forward line, it's not going to be enough to kick a few flashy goals. They're going to expect, whether it's George, Zerha, Curtis, Dersma, they're going to have to be good at applying pressure. But Dersma looks all class from from what I'm hearing and what I've seen of his highlights. So he's exciting. I mean, if he keeps playing like that, he'll be playing round one. And same applies to Harvey. If he keeps displaying that sort of goal sense and smarts around goal, he's going to be hard to keep out.
Mark, sorry to interrupt, but just on that, I did get some intel during the week that the club or the players have been told that as of today, not to bother too much with the footy. The next 14 days are all going to be about running.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. So there was clear data that suggested that they weren't able to run out last quarters. And they've been told the hardest part of pre-season running started today.
Oh, yuck. It's going to be some suffering going on there. Yeah. See, Ben Cunnington that's probably why he retired.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
People have dodged it. But, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but as a supporter, I just love hearing that. I think that's exactly what we need. And even if our guys are inexperienced, I'm not going to say we lack talent because I don't think we lack talent. We just lack the experience in games to maybe be able to show it and strength perhaps, but at least if we're going to be super fit, because it used to drive me mad during the Noble years that they weren't doing enough running. And of course, last year with Clarko, they had to work on the game plan because it was going to be such a big shift because, well, one, we didn't have a game plan, so they had to learn one. And that took up most of last year's preseason. So clearly they're really happy with where we are with the game plan. And now they can focus on this. So, yeah, I'm just very excited by that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and that's from good authority too, Frank. You did speak to us off air about that individual. So, yeah, we'll take your word for it. Jesse, I haven't spoken much about Cooper Harvey. Four goals and a really smart quality play with a lot of skill, like Mark said. But we have Paul Curtis, Cameron Zerha, Jaden Stevenson, Eddie Ford, Curtis Taylor, Braden George, and it looks like Darcy Tucker will play half forward this year as well. Yeah. He has to compete with a lot of other players, doesn't he?
He does, he does. But look, there's something around him that I think is a bit special. I like the way he goes about it. I think as a junior, he showed a bit of talent. He had a broken arm or something, I think, when he was younger. So that kind of
that's right.
But in his under 17 year, they were saying, you know, a top 30 pick. He looked like he was going to be a pretty special player. I love his overhead marking. He's very strong. One of those players that I think that if he knuckled down and did some serious training, he'd be able to do some damage. I really like what he's doing. And look, as you said, there is a lot of players who can play that small medium role now. So we do have, you know, we do have options, which is good. But yeah, look, as I said, I'm excited to see what he can do, because I think he plays best 22 for mine. I think he's in there, and that's without seeing, you know, George get a go. Obviously, yeah, you got your Zerha, Stevenson, Curtis offers a lot, but he does offer something different from mine. And I think he showed some glimpses last year. He's also a pretty good kick at the football generally, and he's got a pretty long kick on him for his size. So, yeah, look, I just want to see him continue getting stronger, a bit more consistency, but he shows a lot at VFL level. And generally, small forwards struggle a little bit at that level. Which he didn't. So look, I think he ticks a lot of boxes, and I'm excited to see what he can do.
Yeah, I mean, he kicked that one goal in the intra club highlights, and you can't help but get excited. Just play, it looks like he plays a game on instinct, like his old man did, and does some pretty special things. Frank, we don't have your boy Kane Turner, and as far as genuine small forwards, and I'm talking under 180 centimeters. And we probably only have two in our list in Blake Drury or Robert Hanson. Hanson has looked pretty good in pre-season from all reports and had a good intra-club game. Either one of those you think gets into the senior team early this year?
Good question, Dean. I'd like to see – I don't think Blake's actually had a chance in that position, though that's where he played a lot of his junior footy. So I'm not really fussed as to which one of them it is, but I would like to see Blake get a chance in that forward pocket for, you know, 2 or 3 weeks to see whether he can adapt and bring something to the team. Hansen, look, you know, if he's improved, I haven't sort of seen the reports and I haven't seen him. I'm hoping to go out there Friday down to the Latrobe and watch them. If he's improved, great. He needs to, because he looked to be a little way off it last year. But I think one of them plays, Dean. I just don't know which one.
That's interesting. I don't know if I'd have him in my best 23 just yet, based because we just have too many players for that position at the moment. But if I had to pick one, it probably would be Robbie Hanson. He's got a bit of pace, I suppose. So yeah, no. We'll obviously know a lot more over the coming weeks. Midfield, yep. Mark, and this is another position we have, let's say, a lot of depth in. Wardlaw looked prime in the intra-club match, and it's about his body holding up, because even in his second year, this kid has got some real talent, hasn't he?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he wins the Rising Star if he stays on the park.
I probably will, yeah.
He was insane what he did. As soon as he played his first senior game, I've never seen someone, probably since Joel Selwood, who was that aggressive at the man and the ball in their first year, and so confident about the way they were doing that. It's just, he was unusually strong last year, and he looks even stronger now. He's basically caught up to Luke Davies Uniac in strength in his second year, which is saying something, because he's a bull. So, you can't help but be excited by him. One, we don't know what's going to happen to Taron Thomas at this stage in terms of, you know, whether he'll be joining the midfield or not. But there's plenty of opportunity there. And I think it's interesting. I've heard the players, they're talking a lot about Charlie Lazaro as being a real option in there. So he's obviously carried on from his form in that Gold Coast game at the end of last season through the early part of pre-season. So he's obviously not out of it. And Phillips apparently is looking really good and looked really good on Friday in the match sim. So I guess the obvious ones are the Wardlaw LDU Sheasel combination. If Sheasel's going to play midfield, after that it becomes interesting. One, you don't know about Taron Thomas, but then you've got three. You know, you've got Powell, you've got Lazaro, you've got Phillips. You've got a few of them in there that are a chance. And of course, you know, there's going to be a fair chance Zerha might go run through there at times as well. So, yeah, it's going to be – I think it's an exciting area. It's certainly going to be stronger and quicker.
Yeah, Jesse, there's one name Mark didn't mention there, and that's Jai Simpkin, our captain. Do you think he'll play midfield this year, or do you think he'll push the half forward?
That's why I didn't mention him, Dean. He'll play high half forward.
It's a tough one, because when he came on, he was obviously very slight. And I think we looked at him and thought, oh, he's a bit of a forward. We're talking about a guy who Paul Ruse, when he was coaching Melbourne, had playing as a, you know, under 16, under 17, said, I would have drafted him then. And that's alongside Petrarca and stuff like that. Simkin does have some pretty special sidesteps, some pretty special inside work. I think last season he dropped off a bit. The year before, I thought he was really, really solid. His numbers were great. I think the only knock on him was his disposal of the football, it is going to be a bloody tough midfield to crack into. I think, you know, if he doesn't play that position, what other position can he play? Well, I think he's got forward craft. So, yeah, it could definitely go up forward. But we've just spoken about there's a lot of options up forward. So is that, you know, genuinely a position that he could play? A wing, potentially, but, you know, we've got some very different options floating out there now. He does seem to have some decent running capacity. So, look, I think it gives him a few options. I tend to think with a lot of the young bodies, you know, we have a pretty good, you know, good midfield now, but we do still have a lot of young bodies. So he will get some midfield time. But he's not necessarily in my starting midfield. I probably have him half forward flank at the moment. That would be in my team.
Yeah, I think high half forward is probably a position that he even talked about a few weeks ago when he did an interview, that he'd probably just go to the midfield and play a little bit of high half forward and maybe have the odd spell in the midfield. So, yeah, that'll be interesting to play out. Frank, Colby McKercher, he might be a player that takes Harry Schusel's role, and Harry Schusel goes up to the midfield, right in the centre square with LDU and George Wardlaw, like Mark said. What do you think about that?
Yes, Dean, I think that is highly likely to happen. Apparently, an exceptional user of the football is what I've heard, and much in the same way that I think Clarko thought that half forward would have been a graveyard for Schusel and his development, even though he's probably naturally a forward. And we saw what he did last year. I think Colby McKercher, if he plays senior footy in round one, I'm pretty confident it's going to be off the half-back flank because of his ball use from all reports. He really, really wastes a disposal.
Yeah, it's the exact same thing as Siobhan Rowe said the other day. Pretty much said his ball use is elite. Very similar to Jared Pollack, Frank.
Yes, old Polly. Yes, God, Dean, you just... God, I'm just... having a bit of a flashback there with old Polly and Aaron Hall and all our other favourites there at halfback. I'm hoping that it's not like that. but from all reports, a very, very good user of the footy.
No, it definitely is. I just thought I'd throw that one in. Mark, you mentioned a couple of these blokes earlier, Chael Lazara and Tom Powell. Now, if you had to pick one, they're fringe players because of the depth we have in the midfield. There's no doubt about that. Who would you have ahead in that pecking order if you had to pick one?
Oh, I think to start with Powell, just because of what he did his first year, and I still expect him to grow from there. I mean, his use of the ball and his vision in his first season was out of control. So I'm really hoping he has a big year. It's just... what's his best spot? That's the hard. I mean, he's probably a bit more flexible about where he can play. I feel like Chael Lazara struggles when he's not in the midfield, at senior level, I should say. I think whenever he plays in the midfield at VFL level, it dominates. Mm. And then the first opportunity he got at senior level was against Gold Coast, and he did really well in there. But he when he's on half-back, half-forward wing, he doesn't seem to quite look as comfortable, whereas at least Powell, I guess there's a few other options for him. He's a bit more flexible, but I'd start with Powell ahead of him, yeah.
No, fair enough. What do you think about that, Jesse?
Yeah, look, I said in Powell's first year, there's a future Brownlow medalist. So I think I did, and I think Lee Montagna might have actually. He did.
Oh, have I lost you, Jesse?
Oh, you got me?
Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah,
that was weird. Sorry, my computer just blipped. I think he can do some pretty special things. We saw his ability to handball. We saw his ability to dispose of the football. I think that there's been a little bit with Tom Powell where it appears that he's overtrained in the gym, but there was definitely an effort by him to put on a lot of size. And I think before last year, he seemed to put on a lot of size. And I almost feel like that affected his game a little bit, in terms of his ability to spread across the ground, get the ball, his ability to do some of the things that he looked naturally good at. I'd like to see him get back to his first season, because we don't need him to necessarily be an inside bull, because we've kind of got that now with, you know, LDU and Wardlaw, etc. He has a unique talent set. What I don't like is playing him on the flanks, etc. Well, Lazaro, I think, could potentially do that a lot better. Powell is someone who, at Sandful level, was racking up ridiculous numbers every single week. He's an accumulator. Now, that means that he has to play predominantly midfield, which is going to be difficult in our midfield. But, yeah, look, I think of the two, he has the most talent and the most upside. But he's also a little bit more similar to some of the others in our mix. While Lazaro probably has a better tank, more pace, and I still think can play a couple other positions. But look, it's a good problem to have. We've got some quality young midfielders coming out of everywhere. Hopefully a few of them can find that rhythm in some other positions. otherwise, you know, it's a good problem to have. They all put pressure on one another and they make themselves better. It's a problem I'd like to have in almost every other position on the ground.
Yeah, and you're going to get injuries probably throughout the course of the year. So, it's a handy soldier to have as a backup, either one of those or both of them. Who knows? They both might be out of the side in round one. So, yeah, you get injury suspension, you know, those players are ready to come up. Frank, I mean, I guess the problem with Tom Powell is a consistency during a game. I mean, he'll pop up, kick a couple of goals, do some flashy things in a 10-minute period, and then you don't see him for about two quarters. I mean, it's about getting that consistency through four quarters, isn't it, for him?
Yeah, absolutely, Dean. Yeah, that and maybe just general fitness. Maybe he just didn't have the tank to, like a few blokes, didn't have the tank to run it out. And then he's never struck me as a really quick line breaker. He's probably more crafty in getting to the ball and getting rid of it. Maybe as the game heats up, he fell away. So I'd like to see him, as Jesse said, maybe he put on too much weight too quickly. I'd like to see him sort of try and improve on the fitness side of things. But he's certainly got a massive upside. It's just a matter of whether, you know, we can get the ball into his hands. But I think, like you were saying before, I think he's got a bigger upside than, you know, Charlie Lazaro has at the moment.
No, that's fair enough. I still like Charlie Lazaro. I think if I had to pick one, I'd probably have Lazaro ahead of Powell because I'm really high on him this year. Even though his opportunities might be limited, I still think there's a player there. Nothing against Tom Powell, but I find him a little bit inconsistent throughout the four quarters of the game where I was rather get Charlie Lazaro, get five, six touches, get a couple of clearances each quarter. I can certainly understand your arguments about those individuals. All right, to finish off, boys, I might get you to name one or two players that you think could break out this year that no one is talking about. Mark, any players that you think could surprise supporters this year that no one is talking about?
Well, I'm not sure if no one's talking about him because I know he's been mentioned by David King and stuff, but I do think Finbar Malley will play senior football this year and have impact. But I'm not sure how long it'll take. But I think he's got the attributes for AFL footy and I think he's got some X factor. So I think that's one out of the box that's just come in that I think might surprise you.
Fair enough. What about you, Jesse? Any players, you think?
Look, I said his name earlier in terms of Cooper Harvey. I think he's genuinely someone who has a lot of upside, and that's in a forward line that I think there is there's a lot of talent. So I think that he could absolutely be someone who surprises a few people. Don't be surprised about your Goaters and Bergmans as well. I've seen a few people put a line through them. Someone made a comment that they can't kick a football or something like that, or I don't know, or someone. Josh Goater, I think we saw it in his first game. He has the ability to kick a football. Potentially he's being asked to play maybe a little bit too defensively, which maybe not his thing. He might be better playing higher up the ground. If his running capacity ends up being better than some of those other halfbackers. Both of them were decently high picks. I think they've got some good physical attributes. They're still young men who need to put on some size, need to put on some fitness. Don't be surprised by those two. They're probably the two for me. I think at least one of them will become a very good AFL player. And I think some of the commentary around writing them off in their... What is it? Well, it's effectively their second season because Bergman didn't even get a disposal. He just got his arm disintegrated in the first minute of play in his first game and didn't play again. And Goda only played the last game of the season. So, yeah, look, they've only really played one season of AFL football. So people have just got to give them a chance. People go a little bit hard. I know I'm claiming a lot here, but just the last one again, Will Phillips. I've been big on him for a very long time. Every time he has a little bit of a down spot, people seem to just write him off and say, we've got Wardlaw, we've got Cheezel, we've got et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We're talking about someone who is a pick three for a reason. They are a quality leader, a future captain. They are a very smart football IQ person. You've seen that with some of the deft touches that he can do, little taps. The West Coast game where we came back, there were some nice little taps from him. He's able to get in, get the football, and over probably a 30 to 40 metre, he's not a long kick, but we'll say a 30, 40 metre, his kicks are very penetrating. He's one of the players that I like distributing inside football, inside 50, because he is able to target a player and kick it. We're talking about a guy who was as good as Raoul as a junior. Look, I know I've probably stolen some of your names there, Frank. Apologise. But
I'll second that, though. I reckon that's a really good call.
But, the Harvey one for me is probably less so because I kind of said it earlier. The three names I wrote down were Phillips, Goda, and Bergman, because I just think they're three that I see some silly comments about, and I think they're three who at least two of them, with Phillips being 100%, will be best 22 players and very good ones at that.
Yeah, I'm really on Goda this year, especially if we play a sort of run and gun style of football.
Which it seems like you will, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, which makes sense with list build that we've got. He had, last game against the Gold Coast Suns, he had 22 touches, 7 marks, 4 inside 50s. He was really, showed his quality. Very good long penetrating kick. I remember the game against Richmond, the second last round. He kicked a 60-metre pass from the wing to Paul Curtis, put it straight out in front of him. He took a good mark, kicked a goal. So, no, I'm really high on Josh Goda this year. Frank, anyone you're thinking of?
Yep. Dean, the two that I'm really keen to see what they can do, and they're not one is Charlie Combin at centre-half back. I think he's got the tools to really make that position his own. So I'm really excited to see what he can do. And the other one that I'm really excited about and I've seen nothing about, but I'm keen, is Braden George. Simply because of his size, having watched him as the close up as the runner for the VFL team in the second half of the year, just a really, really good size, physically developed, and if he can, the word was that he was an exceptional talent before the knee injury. I think if he gets a chance, I'm really excited about what he might be able to bring.
Is it true he's kicking the ball 60 metres off a couple of steps?
I don't know, Marco, but I saw him up close. I was standing behind the bench in the couple of the VFL games. And he was physically ready last year. He is a big unit for your 6'1" type footballer. I'm excited if he can get his body right. A guy that size and with apparently the natural talent that he's got, I'd really love to see what he could do in senior football.
I think half the supporter base at least is desperate to watch him play.
Yep. Yeah, he certainly, mate, there's nothing physically that he needs to do to play senior footy other than to get his body right. So he looks ready-made. If he can get fit and the knee and everything holds up, I think there'll be some pressure on that half-forward line for to keep him out.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, from all reports, they might be looking to play him off half-back, from what I've heard. But he's done non-contact pretty much at the moment. So, they're still ramping him up. So, but look, he'll be in the reserves nice and early. And if he shows half the talent that everyone's talking about, then he'll probably be in the senior team fairly quickly. Well, boys, that's all I have for you tonight. Mark, thanks so much. Thank you so much for joining us. Any shout-outs to all the Essendon supporters out there on X or anything like that?
I'll leave that alone. I'll leave that alone. I'm sick of them. I'm going to wait. We've only lost 10 in a row, so I'm sure we'll beat them soon.
We've lost we lost 20 in a row at one point last year. So, hopefully it's all good.
No, I mean 10 in a row to the Bombers.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah.
Well, long as they don't win any finals, the pressure's off. But we're going to have to jump on and start competing with them soon, I think.
Yeah, you'd have to think so. Jesse, thanks so much for coming on and giving us your thoughts. I'll appreciate it, and we'll chat soon.
Yes, thank you for having me. It's good to be back, and hopefully we're feeling this excited by round 2 or 3.
Well, let's hope so. Hopefully, we're not round four in and we're already talking about the 2024 draft.
We're banning the draft word. Than mid season, we're allowed to talk mid season draft.
1993 on repeat, this will be.
That was a good year. I remember that. I was only 15 at the time. So, yeah. Frank, glad everything has worked out for you personally, and we'll chat soon.
Sounds good. Thank you, Dean, Mark, and Jesse. Great to have a chat.
So thank you very much to those boys once again for coming on the show. And thank you very much to all you lovely listeners for all the likes, retweets, and comments you all put out for the show. Sorry, I'm just struggling with my words there. You put out for the show. It helps it grow. So if you can tell a friend continue to do all the good things, leave a rating and review on your favorite podcast platform you use as well. That would be much, much appreciated. So that's it for tonight. I'll be back on Wednesday or Thursday, something like that. Obviously going to have lots more to discuss. Don't forget, if you want to go to the Further North live show in Kensington on the 26th of February, to go get tickets now, you can check out his work on socials at Further North Pod or on Instagram, wherever. Tickets went on sale 9 o'clock this morning. I got my tickets, so make sure you get yours. It'll be a good day out. Charlie Conlon will be there, Marnie Cohen, a couple others as well. So, yeah, make sure to check that out. Anyways, that's it for tonight. Like I said, I'll be back later in the week. So tonight I will leave a shout out to Dave Chalmers 4 on Instagram at Dave Chalmers 4. So bye for now and go Roos.